going to turn it off, it's already off. Turn it on. What I'm about to do right now, what I am doing right now, is something that most people are afraid of. If you look at the national polls they take from time to time about people's greatest fears, near the top, nearly in every poll, is the fear of public speaking. The fear of public speaking. There are a lot of things that I worry about. Things that, under certain circumstances, I would be afraid of. I'm not afraid to speak publicly. And I'll tell you why. Because the fear of public speaking is the fear that you're going to say something or do something that will embarrass yourself, that you'll forget what to say, you don't know how to say it, you'll mess up, people are looking at you. And I've been able to overcome that fear by messing up enough times to know that it's a survivable event. I have inoculated myself against the fear of making a fool of myself. But fear is something that we all experience, something we all deal with. It's a very powerful emotion, powerful motivator. Something I want to talk about this morning, and to begin with, by looking at this passage that was read for a scripture reading, most ably by Stonewall, Psalm chapter 3, where David talks about he's not afraid. If you understand the context of Psalm 3, from the heading, we understand that this is a psalm that David wrote on the occasion that his own son rebelled against him and drove him out of the capital. And he was fleeing for his life, fleeing with his family, with all of the people he cared about, not knowing if they were going to be set upon at any moment by Absalom and Absalom's forces and slaughtered and killed. And so David is running for his life. And yet, in the midst of that event, a very terrifying and frightful event, he writes this psalm. And he says, among other things, he says, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. You see, in a civil war situation, a revolt, you don't know who your friends are. You don't know who your enemies are. Anybody could be your enemy. The next group of guys coming up over the hill could be the ones who are after you. It could be the people that you thought were your friends. If your own son and your own best advisor and all of the people in the government that you thought you could trust and who are on your side have turned against you and are seeking your life, then who can you trust? You don't know. And so David, he's being perfectly honest here. He's saying, I am surrounded by enemies. And there are a lot of them, and I don't even know how many there are. Imagine a situation like that. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. You see how David is aware of the danger that he's in. He is running for his life. He knows the possibility exists that he could be killed. Taking action to try to avoid that, but it's a terrifying situation, and yet he's also aware of something else. He's aware that there is a God who has always helped him, and that that God has not gone away. And that God is still there, right there with David, like a shield around him, protecting him. He says, I lie down and sleep. This is actually verse 5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. He's so relaxed. Not the right word. He's so comforted, perhaps, by the awareness of God's presence that he can sleep. You know, most people in David's situation would not be able to sleep. And to find David sleeping, you know, and someone said, how can you sleep? Not knowing what tomorrow will bring, who your enemies are, if they'll come upon us while we're not ready. How can you sleep in a situation like that? David says, I can sleep. Because the Lord's right there. He's right there with me. I remember going on a trip one time. And as a kid, I would sleep in the car all of the time. I'd sleep in the car. And I grew up, went to school, went on a trip with somebody, and this person was a terrible driver. I couldn't sleep a wink. I had to stay up and keep my eye on the road the whole time. But David says, I can sleep. And then he says, verse 6, I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. What an incredible statement to say. He's not unaware. He's not blithely ignorant of the danger that he's in. He knows he's surrounded by enemies. Thousands of enemies. On every side, he's surrounded by enemies. I'm not afraid. Let's talk about this for a few moments this morning. David also expresses the same concept in other psalms, of course, this being perhaps the most famous one. Even though I walk, Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, David's lack of fear is not a failure to acknowledge or recognize the difficult circumstances he's in. He is in difficult circumstances. He knows he's in difficult circumstances. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's dark. It's scary. It's bad. But even so, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Or this fear no evil, you're with me. This famous, this psalm here, Psalm 27, verse 3, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Now here's the thing about these psalms and the thoughts that they express, and there's a lot of passages in the Bible that talk about this, about how those who are in the service of God, those of us who have trust in God, need have no fear. Now the thing about that is that it's not an absolute. It's not an absolute statement. You see, the truth is that fear can be a wise and useful thing in avoiding dangerous situations. We should all practice fear. God gives us the ability to fear, gives us the emotion of fear, the fight or flight response, whatever you want to call it. But that very normal human reaction to a dangerous situation is actually a useful thing. Prisons are filled with people who aren't afraid. I'm not afraid. Well, maybe you should have been a little afraid. That's how you got yourself in that situation. And if you find yourself in a battle or a fight, and there's somebody saying, I'm not afraid, you should shy away from that. You should go get in somebody else's foxhole. Fear is a good thing. It's a healthy thing. to recognize dangers and to avoid them. So it's not an absolute. Christians should not be afraid. Well, that's not absolutely true. We should be wise enough to recognize the pitfalls in life and be wary of them, whether you're driving down the road or dealing with a hostile individual or trying to avoid hurting yourself on the job. Recognize the danger. It's one of the few Spanish words I've learned, cuidado, be careful. Well, avoid that. Recognize the danger. Be a little afraid of that. And then do something about it. It's useful. But it shouldn't dominate us. We shouldn't live in fear. And we shouldn't be afraid of certain things that other people are afraid of. And this is the point that David is making. Now, David recognizes the danger. He's taking steps to avoid the danger. It's a frightening situation. And so what David is basically saying is, yeah, I'm kind of afraid, or I've reason to be afraid, but I trust you, God. And so I let that fear go. I'm not going to be dominated by it. I'm not going to let it rule my mind to the extent that I can't even sleep. I'm not going to let that happen because I trust in you. That's what David is saying. And in fact, it's the same principle that should apply to all of us. There's a lot of things in this life that happen, and which naturally causes us to fear and be afraid. And yet, because of our faith, we should be able to set those things aside, at least to a degree that gives us comfort and peace. We should. That's one of the very practical and useful blessings of being a child of God. And if you're not experiencing that, then increase your faith, brother. Get to a place in your life where you say, you know what? I'm in the hands of God. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. We serve an almighty God. There isn't anything that our God can't get us out of, that can't help us out of. And in the end, that he won't get us out of or help us out of, because in the end, he will. Everything that you're afraid of, everything that you fear, in his arms, fear is driven out, should be driven out, in his care. Now, what is it? What is it that you fear? Look here in Deuteronomy 20 and verse 1. You go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord God is with you. Now, here's a very real and real world situation that the people to whom these words were written were going to find themselves in. They were going to go and fight some people. And those people were going to outnumber them. And those people were going to have better weapons. And they were going to have chariots. And it was going to be scary. And yet the Lord says, the thing that you're going to see that's going to make you afraid, don't let it. Don't be afraid of that. Now, that's an almost impossible request to ask a person. You're staring at a whole huge army of people and their weapons and their chariots, and they're well-trained in war, and you're not. How can you not be afraid of that? Well, what basically the Lord is saying is just go forward. Just go fight. And don't let that fear dominate you. You just go and you do what you know you can do and what I'm going to help you to do. I'm your God. I am Almighty. I will be there with you. And so it's overcoming fear by just doing it. So what do you fear? What's the big army that you fear? Well, there are a lot of things that we naturally fear in life. We fear the coming of hard times. Haven't really had really hard times in a long while in this country. And maybe we won't. But the older you get and the more circumspect you get, the more pitfalls and dangers and possibilities that you see out there. And so hard times may come. There have been a few people here that are here who are still alive in this congregation who've lived through some hard times. I mean, some really hard times. Unlike you young people can't even imagine, probably. And so, you know, it's a possibility. So is that your fear? Do you fear hard times? Do you fear the loss of a loved one? What a terrible thing to have to experience, to go through, to lose someone that you really love, that you really care about, and to watch them pass away. That's something that naturally concerns us. How about the loss of your youth or of your health? You reach a certain point in your life. You know, when you're young, you don't think about that at all. But you reach a certain point in your life when you think, man, I'm getting old. I don't look so good anymore, and I never looked that good. I'm getting old. Is that scary? How about the disapproval of others? Is that scary? That's kind of that fear of public speaking kind of a thing, you know? You're afraid you're going to look foolish or stupid in front of other people, or they're not going to approve you or like you. That matters a lot to young people. And for those of you who are young and you have little qualms about what other people think about you and what they see when they look at you, you should know that goes away to a large degree. You get to a point in your life when that doesn't matter anymore, not much. But it always is there a little bit. How about missing? Are you afraid of missing out? There's a lot of young people are missing out. I want to miss out. Oh, yeah, really? What are you missing out on? Well, all of the fun and the good stuff and life and, well, I guess that's a legitimate fear. Time's passing you by. You've got dreams and aspirations and hopes and things that you want to work out and they're not working out. You know, maybe midlife crisis, something like that. I don't know. A fear of not quite getting everything out of life that you want. I guess that's a fear that people have. Certainly this, death, people are afraid to die. Is that your fear? Lots of other things you could talk about. You know, there's some things that people are afraid of that are complete nonsense. When I was a kid, ghosts. Oh, I was afraid of ghosts. And I had a friend, not much of a friend, told me that this house was haunted in our neighborhood. It was haunted. And every time I walked by that house, I was so afraid. I was afraid to walk by that house. Well, that's just stupid. I'm sorry if I'm insulting you, if you're afraid of ghosts, but it's just stupid. That's not something to be afraid of. These are legitimate concerns because here, let me tell you something about being afraid of these things happening. Going to happen. Every one of them. I don't know what kind of hard times. It may be just something personal for you. It may be a little more widespread. But there are going to be times in your life that is going to happen. Almost certainly. And there are going to be situations where you're going to lose a loved one, and that's going to happen. It happened to several here just in the last few years. Somebody you really, really care about, it is going to happen. I mean, you can be afraid of it if you want to be, but being afraid of it isn't going to keep it from happening. It is going to happen. And you are going to lose your youth and your health. That is going to happen, assuming the last one on the list doesn't happen first. And the disapproval of others is going to happen, and missing out is going to happen. When you qualify as missing out, it's going to happen. And lots of other things. Failure. People fear failure. That's going to happen. You're going to fail at things. So how are you going to respond? You're going to live in dread of these things? You're just going to, oh man, something bad's going to happen. What are they thinking? I don't know. What are they thinking of me? Is that how you're going to live your life? You're going to live your life thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to get old. I'm getting old. I'm getting decrepit. Look at the lines. Oh, look at the lines in my face. Well, yeah, that's going to happen. Is that how you're going to react? Is that how you're going to feel about the things that are going to happen in your life? You shouldn't. Because none of these things, in the end, can you change. It's like what Jesus said, you know, why worry about this? You can't, by worrying about it, you can't add one inch to your lifespan. You cannot. Is that how you're going to live your life? Well, don't. And in fact, most of these things shouldn't even matter to us. So it's a valuation thing, isn't it? The thing that you fear is the thing that matters to you. But there's so much about this life that shouldn't matter. Now, the loss of a loved one, I can understand that. I mean, that is something that we should definitely care about. And yet, even within the context of knowing that we're all going to die anyway, and our faith in the next life really should not be something that we fear. It's not the right reaction. You see, the danger in fear is that it makes us make mistakes. Fear is a powerful motivator, a powerful emotion, and it can work to your benefit in certain circumstances, but it can also work heavily against you. And certainly as you try to live a Christian life, as you try to do the right thing and be a moral person, a righteous person, and one of the things that fear can do is it makes you hesitate. When you ought to act, when you ought to do the right thing, because you're afraid of the consequences, because you're afraid of what might happen, you hesitate, you don't do it. The classic example of this, of course, is the one-talent man, the parable Jesus tells in Matthew 25. And verse 24, you know, he was given a talent. He was supposed to invest the money, but he didn't because he was afraid. He buried it in the ground, and he comes to take into account by his master, and he says this, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed, and I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. I was afraid." Well, the fear, it's not necessarily a bad thing. He should have had some apprehension. His master was demanding. It took some reaction. He should have reacted, and yet his fear paralyzed him. Rather than taking that little bit of fear that he had and using it to actually try to succeed, he guaranteed failure. And the way that we should apply this principle in our own life is that we only have this life in which to show our devotion to God, to demonstrate our devotion to God. Now, in the next life, assuming that we are in the grace of Jesus Christ, we'll have lots of opportunities to be devoted to God, but to demonstrate it, to show our faith, our conviction. It's now. It's now or never. Don't let fear paralyze you. Reach out. Act. Speak. Serve. Do the right thing. Don't fear that you're missing out or that others might disapprove of you, or be a Christian. Don't be afraid to be a Christian. Because if you let that paralyze you, you're only guaranteed failure. That's all you're doing. It makes us act rash on occasion. You know, people do stupid things when they're afraid because they're not thinking. You know, that flight and flight emotion, adrenaline, and you know, it's you don't think. And the best way to avoid that is to prepare ahead of time for situations. But a lot of times something happens and you're not prepared, and it's a surprise to you, and so do something. Why doesn't somebody do something? Well, sometimes people do something and they do exactly the wrong thing. They act rashly. An example of that is when Jacob ran his family and ran away from Laban, and Laban caught up with him anyway. He still had to deal with Laban. He didn't get away from Laban. And so Laban says, "Why'd you run off with your you know, my family members, and, you know, why'd you do that? And Jacob answered, he said, Genesis 31:31, I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. Well, it's not a totally illegitimate fear, but sometimes fear makes us do stupid things. Young people do this a lot. You know, they get afraid, and so they don't want someone to find out the little bit of trouble that they've gotten themselves into. They don't want mom and dad to find out. They don't want, you know, the teachers to find out. They don't want others to find out the little bit of trouble they've gotten themselves into. And so in what they do is get themselves into a lot of trouble. And you don't want to do that. If you're in a little bit of trouble, have the courage, overcome your fear, admit what you've done, get somebody's help, tell the authorities, tell your parents. Don't do something stupid. Advice to you. This into lying. People lie mostly not to advantage, but because they're afraid. They're afraid of bad consequences. Genesis 18, verse 15, Abraham and Sarah, they're going to have a child. And Sarah laughed. She laughed because she was old and she couldn't have a child. And so she thought, and she was afraid. When she was confronted about it, the angel said, why'd you laugh? And she was afraid. She said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did. Yes, you did laugh. Now, that's a seemingly harmless example of what I'm talking about, but it can be a lot worse. If you're afraid to tell the truth, face up to your fear. Tell the truth. It causes us to lose focus, fear does. And here's an example of that, of course. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and the disciples are all afraid because that's a scary thing to see that, you know. And Peter overcomes his fear a little bit, and he says, well, if it really is you, Lord, ask me to come to you in the water, and I can walk on the water too. And Jesus says, come on. And so Peter gets on the boat and he walks in the water. But then, as we see here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 29, Peter got out of the boat, he walked in the water, came toward Jesus, but seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Which is a great illustration for living the life of Christ. Living the life of Christ is not easy, and it is scary at times, because of all the things that I talked about, you know, the disapproval of others, you think missing out on something, or I'm scared that this isn't going to work out, or I really love this person, I really love this person, but this person's no good, and so if I give up this person who's no good, then I'll miss out on having them in my life, and that's scary, and I understand that. And or someone says, look, if you don't go along with this, you're going to lose your job. That's scary. That is scary. And so our fear causes us to concentrate upon the object of our fear instead of looking to Christ and trusting Him and putting ourselves in His care. And so we think more of the wind and the waves than we do in our Master. And that's when you should lift up your head, look to your Lord, and say, Lord, this scares me a little bit, but I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to do the right thing. And I'm just going to choose not to let that fear dominate. You know what Jesus said to his disciples on the night before he was going to be arrested and beaten and tortured and whipped and nailed to a cross all day long until he died? You know what he said to his disciples? He says, don't you be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back. I'm going to take you home. Because the real problem, the biggest problem here is that it causes us, or it does to deny our faith. That's a problem. Peter went through that very night. While Jesus was being mistreated, Peter was afraid. He was afraid that others were going to connect him with Jesus, and maybe he would get some of the treatment Jesus is getting. And so when people kept asking him, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" he kept denying it. "No, I'm not one of them." He did that because he was afraid. Don't let fear do that to you. To drive fear, we should fear God. And Jesus says, you know what? Don't fear what other people can do to you. I'll tell you the one you should fear. Fear the one who has authority to cast you into hell. That's the one that you should fear. You see, all other fears shrink into insignificance compared to denying our God. It should be for anybody who has faith in God. If you believe in God and what He is capable of doing and of His judgment, if you appreciate what He can do to you, then there really isn't anything else in this life that compares to that. And that's one way of overcoming fear. But of course, trusting God is even more important. Trust God. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, Hebrews 13:6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? That is our mantra. That is what we should say. I'm not afraid. The Lord's with me. The Lord is with me. I am not going to be afraid. Now, you got a little bit of fear. Be honest. Defeat that fear in the trust of God. That's what we do, and love God. And when it comes to your confidence about your own spiritual salvation and the relief and peace that gives you, think about this verse, 1 John 4, verse 18. No fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Work your relationship with God to the point that you are in His love. And you feel His love, and you have love for God, and you have a closeness. And it's just like anyone you're close with, anyone that you have a really good relationship with. You're not afraid of that person. Have that in your relationship with God. And it'll overcome all of your fears, really. And speak and act and push forward. Acts 18, the Lord said to Paul, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will do you to harm you, for I have many in the city who are my people. And, you know, I know that that's something that Jesus said specifically to Paul, specifically in his situation, but here's the reality, is that maybe Paul was a little bit of afraid, and there was some consternation on his part, or some trepidation, and Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. You just go speak. You just go act. You just go do what you know to do, and put that fear aside, because I'm with you. Do not be afraid. Go on. In conclusion, brethren, we often fall prey to fear. But fear robs us. It robs us of resolve. It robs us of joy, and possibly even of our salvation if we give in to our fears. We have to cast ourselves into God's care, and don't fear anything else. Live and serve and work with peace of mind, with contentment, with joy. Bad things are going to happen. They are going to happen. But there isn't anything that's going to happen to you that God will not pull you out of it. He will. In this life, and certainly in the next to come. But if you are not a servant of God, if you are not in His grace this morning, you should be afraid. You should serve Jesus out of love and trust and faith. But if you need a jump start of fear, then you should have that. You should be afraid of God's judgment. If you know you're not right with the Lord, that you have wronged Him, that you have broken His laws, and you don't have His grace, because you're not in Jesus Christ, because you're not a Christian, let me suggest to you that a little bit of fear right now would be a very healthy thing for you. But you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to let that fear dominate your life. You don't have to go out and drive down the road thinking, man, I don't know if I died. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know. Well, don't live with that. Don't. Give your life to the Lord this morning. Declare your faith in Jesus. He died for you. He faced the worst things that anybody can face for you, so that he could take that fear away and give you a life of joy where everything and anything that happens to you is immaterial in this world, because you have a hope of eternal life. If you want that fearless, joyful life, give your life to the Lord this morning. Declare your faith in him. Turn from sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Come forward and say you will if you stand and sing.
Has come the fall.